You are listening to a Screenfish one-on-one with veteran actor John C. McGinley. John stars in the upcoming science fiction film The Belko Experiment, directed by Greg McLean and written by James Gunn. And we get to chat about Belko, filming in Bogota, and his incredible body of work. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Hey, Steve, it's Johnny C. McGinley. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm good. John, how are you?
Outstanding. Where's 416?
You are talking to Toronto.
Oh, you're in Toronto. One of my favorite towns.
Oh, I'm glad.
I've lived up there for all told probably 2 years, back when Toronto was just exploding film-wise, because it doubled for New York all the time.
Yeah. Well, I did a stint as an extra in Three to Tango.
Oh, that was a good gig. I went straight from Office Space. I did 3 or 4 days on Office Space down in Austin. And then I went straight to Toronto to do Three to Tango.
Really? That's great. I was just an extra. You and I have never met.
I was down in Austin, and Mike wanted the downsizers to be there for like 3 weeks, and I was like, well, I can't. I got this gig up in Toronto, and so Mike Judge, who's just one of the great guys of all time, he consolidated the Bobs to about 4 days. So I went down there. I had wardrobe Monday, and we shot Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I traveled to Toronto by Friday.
Oh, really?
We cranked that up. Bob Balaban and I were up there, and that was a good gig.
You've shot up here a lot, you said.
Yeah, tons. We did Car 54, Where Are You? I'm going to forget now. I'd have to look at my IMDb page, but I felt like I was just commuting up there for a long time. Gosh, what else did I do up there? I can't remember. It's too long.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on to talk with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Did you see Belko yet?
I haven't seen Belko. Yeah, I was one of the ones I wanted to see at TIFF, and I missed it.
It's intense.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we shot it down in Bogota almost, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years now. And in the intervening time, I don't know how much of a news junkie you are, but in the intervening time, there was that workplace slaughter in San Bernardino, California. And I think Belko had, because Belko, even though it's science fiction, I think Belko had to take a chill pill for a second, because if you're not into the science fiction of it all, Belko could be confused with workplace violence.
Sure.
It's not about any of that. It's science fiction. But I think it largely had to take a time out for a little while.
I could see that. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Belko experiment? From what I hear, it's, you know, the family-friendly kids romp of the year.
Yeah. Belko is a company, a fictitious company in South America where Americans work. There's about 80 of them. And on a Tuesday morning, all of a sudden, the building is sealed up in steel. And over the loudspeaker, we find out that unless you kill three people in the next 10 minutes, the person on the loudspeaker suggests that we, whoever we is, will kill 30 of you. And so nobody believes it, and the time passes, and three people's heads explode. And the thing is that when you agreed to come down to South America, because it's the kidnap capital of the world, you had a chip put in your neck so we can find you when and if you do get kidnapped. Hmm. And, of course, in that chip is some C4. And when this whole experiment starts to happen, we find out it's an experiment, the consequence for not paying attention to the voice on the loudspeaker is your head explodes. And so what is interesting about the film is the decisions people make in order to stay alive, and what clicks become vital, who chooses to go hide, who chooses to band together, who chooses to go underneath their desk and pray, and the different decisions that the different people make in the context of the story is what, to me, is what is most interesting.
How do you think that Belko sets itself apart from other films of the genre? Is it more of a social commentary? Do you think it's just a thrill ride? Is it both?
I think James Gunn is such an agile writer, and Greg McLean was so adept at handling this huge ensemble, that what sets it apart is the quality of the cast and the quality of James Gunn's writing.
Yeah, having James Gunn, of course, having written the screenplay, what does he bring to a story?
He put it all on the page, and he largely let Greg orchestrate the film.
Hmm.
I think he was pretty amazing at not stepping on Greg's toes and usurping his power as the director, which is hard when you're someone as skilled and as amazing as James is, to not want to kind of maybe elbow in there a little bit, which he did not ever. Mm. He did stay for about 3 weeks longer than he meant to because he was having so much fun. He said the other night at a Q&A we did in Santa Monica that it's the greatest cast he's ever worked with. And I don't think he was saying it just to blow smoke up Tony Goldwyn's skirt and my skirt. We were both on the panel with him. And that's why he stayed. We had a real family experience down there, which is very unusual. And largely, as you progress forward here, it's very unusual. Actors have become hired hands, and they kind of come and go, and then they're on to the next thing. There was a lot of bonding and some lovely friendships that evolved out of that gig, which is not usually the case, trust me.
Hmm.
People have families, people have obligations, they have places they have to go, and you know, you have to commit to the next picture, and
sure.
All of a sudden there's something outstanding, like in Belco, where we were all down in Colombia together in Bogota. That's a real treat.
And how long was the shoot, did you say?
I don't know, a couple months. Not forever, because there wasn't a ton of money, so it wasn't one of these 4 month shoots. I would say just a couple months. He was just cranking his pace of work and his ability to orchestrate that set with maybe 20 principals on the set, which is very unusual. Usually there's the leading man, the leading girl, the best friend, and the bad guy. Usually there's four principals, and there were 20 of us.
Hmm. Is there something different about filming in such a claustrophobic location? Because you guys were down in Bogota, but most of the action, I think, well, pretty much the entire film is inside the office building.
Oh, absolutely. What the big difference for me was the extras, or the background artists, were all soap stars down in Bogota, and they played the tone of the piece. As the piece evolves, obviously it gets more and more desperate. And they played the tone so real, and they were so invested that it was stunning.
Mm.
I mean, these are soap stars. These are people who are huge stars in the context of daytime soaps down in Bogota.
Mm.
And they were background artists on our film. And you'll see when you see the film, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And all it does is contribute to the tone of the piece.
Hmm.
I don't know if you'll feel it or not. Maybe only we could feel it down there. But the camera's an X-ray machine, and it picks up everything. It'll pick up all that stuff.
Absolutely. It's such a fascinating project. But I got to say, John, your body of work is so diverse. Like, it's crazy diverse. Platoon, Wall Street, of course, Scrubs and Office Space, 42, 7, even Set It Off and animated work as well.
I thought Queen Latifah should have been nominated for an Academy Award on Set It Off. I thought she was just breathtaking.
She did. She did a wonderful job on that, absolutely.
A fundraiser for me about 10 months ago in Denver, and I told her I thought she should have been nominated for that.
Hmm.
I think that film comes out today, she gets nominated.
Yeah. Well, how do you go about choosing a project?
It's a script, and then first, it's a script. If they send it out here, like it's pilot season right now, and they're sending all this stuff out here, and if it's not on the page, I'm out. Because you get in a room with these people, and then they try to convince you all these things are going to do on the set, and it's not true. If it's not on the page, you're dead meat.
Hmm.
So if it's on the page, that's good. And then it depends on who the people are. And then it depends on the money. So it goes, what's on the page? Who's the people? What are you going to pay me?
With the traveling to places such as Bogota, that's got to affect your family life. How do you make that work?
Oh, Pete, my people travel with me now. Not to Bogota, it's too dangerous. But, like, we started the first season of Stand Against Evil last year, which if you haven't seen, you should. It's great.
Hmm.
It's this show I'm doing on IFC. It's kind of Archie Bunker fighting witches.
That should be the tagline. That's the greatest tagline I think I've ever heard.
and that's what it is. I'm kind of this kind of tortured guy who's has no interest in fighting witches, but I have to. It's great. We're going to start the second season, third week of May, down in Atlanta.
Wow.
My whole troop came with me last summer. I think people are going to camp this year, but they made that whole thing doable. I don't have any interest in traveling away from them.
That's great. Is there a particular director or experience that you wish you could repeat?
Well, every time I'm on a set with Oliver, that's pretty great.
Sure.
Billy Lawrence on Scrubs is the hardest working person I've ever met in my life, and also the most, he's kind of the Norman Lear of his generation. And the guy who I'm working with right now, who I'm co-producing this show with, Dana Gould, who was one of the Emmy Award-winning writers on The Simpsons, is just a comedy badass. And so I get spoiled being around these people because they put it on the page so that when someone calls action, you're not beholden to yank a rabbit out of your ass every time. Because that's a short-lived exercise. Unless it's on the page, you're dead. And when people like Billy Lawrence or Oliver Stone or Dana Gould on Stand Against Evil, when you get with these people, it's just, it's glorious.
You've also done stage as well and film and TV. Is there a preference for you, or are they all so different?
Well, they're all the same. Somebody calls action or the curtain goes up, you got to do something. And so, whether it's, I just did Glengarry on Broadway with Bobby Cannavale and Al Pacino, and you know, I did a soap for 3 years when I first got out of school. Sure. I did Another World, done musicals. I don't know. It's just, no, they're all the same.
I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball because one of the things I see is that you called yourself a special needs advocate. I was wondering, why is that so meaningful for you?
Well, my son Max was born 19 years ago with Down syndrome. And once you get your head out of the sand and start looking around after the, in Max's case, his infantile seizures and sleep apnea, once those things abate and the playing field starts to level out, you look around and you see who else you can help. And so being a part of the special needs communities, that's kind of my main job. And then I'm a storyteller after that.
That's a powerful ministry to be able to do.
Yeah, it's good. So I like to help people who can't help themselves. What greater cause? People can't advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. John, this has been fantastic talking to you. I mean, this has been absolutely great. We're going to have to wait till the film comes out on Friday to see what Wendell would do in those circumstances.
But where do you get a load of this character? Oh, my God.
He's sort of the lieutenant of the villain, right?
Yes, exactly. Tony plays the... Well, he doesn't start out as a bad guy, but ends up being the bad guy, and I'm kind of his aide-de-camp.
We get to see what Wendell will do when the film comes out, but under the same circumstances, what would John C. McGinley do?
I would find a way to get home to my family. Or it took.
That seems like the best possible answer under those circumstances.
Yep, that's probably why they cast me in this, because I don't think there's that big a distance in that circumstance between me and Wendell. I think I would have a different approach than him. I would do what it takes to get home to my family.
Well, honestly, John, this has been absolutely great to chat with you, and really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, have a great week, and I'll look forward to seeing your piece.
You too. And as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.